2015's King Neptune of the Mermaid Parade. And you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Magically babelicious.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Badass Babes on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, Britt, and I am joined here today with the amazing badass women, Jen Garcia and Erin Wilson. Hello, ladies.
Hey, Britt.
Hey.
How's it going?
Great.
Good. Great.
Thanks for being on the show.
This
is
very
exciting.
Very
flattering to be here.
So let me introduce you both from a few things that I know. Jen, you're New York raised. You currently live in Guatemala, which is amazing. And I am so fortunate to have you on the show while you're visiting Brooklyn for like, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm here in Bushwick for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you're living in Guatemala. That's rad. Aaron Wilson, you are a head chef. You are a climate change activist.
Yeah.
And
that's very new, but yes.
Both creative, wonderful people. Very awesome to have you on this show.
Thank you for having us, Britt. It's a pleasure.
It really is. Okay,
so I'm going to start with Jen Garcia.
All right.
So let's talk about your life and what you're doing.
Okay.
So the very first question I have, big money question. What brought you to Guatemala to begin with, and what made you decide to stay and live in a foreign country with a completely different language than you normally speak?
Yeah.
What? How did that all go down? Let's talk about it.
I think that really necessity was the mother of invention. I had nothing. I burned out here.
Yeah.
My 11-year career, I quit, gave months notice. And I never had that. I always wanted to do a one-way ticket thing.
What was the 11-year career?
I was working in restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yep.
We've all been there.
Yeah. And 11 years is a long time.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine, the runaway guy, Leif Haram, who we also grew up with.
We went to high school with him. Side note.
He was always trying to get me to go to El Salvador, Guatemala, and he ran tours there. So he was doing an upcoming tour. And for the five languages Leif speaks, his Spanish wasn't so great. Mm-hmm. So I kind of helped. It just came back to me like a little bit of a atrophied muscle once I got down there. And it's gotten better since. And
language as an atrophied muscle. That's a nice, that's a very nice metaphor you just made, Jen.
Well, I've given it some thought.
Poetic.
Jen, I've been humbled by my Spanish.
The reason why you're not hearing out of your left headphone is because it's on backwards.
Why are they?
I just noticed one of the ear muffs is why is pointed one side in the other direction. She's like, I can't hear so well.
What?
There we go. We fixed it. I think it's that better.
We fixed it. Yeah, it's way better.
Perf. So let's get back to it. So you go to Guatemala.
So I went, and then I have basically gave myself 3 months. Started seeing somebody and started working at a bar. Started getting to know people, and I was like, oh, I don't want to leave.
How was it getting a job in a foreign country where you don't speak the language at a bar?
You know, yeah. Well, it was. I mean, there are a lot of gringos there, and the place I worked at was actually called Gringos Locos.
So were you like, yo soy gringo loco?
Gringos Locos is dead now for good reasons.
Too loco.
Yeah, actually,
too much loco gringo.
There was that. And I really just started, I hated being in bars and I kind of just got sick of it. And I started looking for jobs. And a friend of mine, a bar owner, said actually, Stephen Catt, friends of theirs at La Fortuna, were looking for a manager. And I was super... I had to break out a big girl resume for the first time in a long time.
So what is La Fortuna, just so I know?
La Fortuna is an eco-friendly boutique hotel on the lake, and it's only accessible by boat.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was kind of the first day I went, just showing up there that day was just, and I was kind of in awe of it. What did I get myself into?
Yeah.
But it was an incredible experience, and I did that for a year until really I just decided again that I'm kind of sick of working with people. Or four people.
I feel that.
But why? Why is
that? Well, in a restaurant, you have a bad table and they go home at the end of the night and you have a glass of wine and you can forget about it, you know? Mm-hmm. But when you're on a call and you're a manager at a boutique hotel in Guatemala where there's no roads going to your place, you sleep there and you have crappy guests, they're your neighbors for the night, you know?
And you're... Yeah, you're basically their butler in a sense, right?
Yeah, it's sort of, it's so small. It's you're a one person. You're the bartender, you're the manager, you go oversee the staff and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Which was amazing. And the staff, everywhere in Guatemala, actually, Spanish is the national language, but people speak Cachiquel. And there's 28 different dialects of that around the lake. So it was actually, for me and the locals that we're working with that work behind the scenes in the hotel, Spanish is a second language for both of us.
Wow. So did you start to learn Cachiquel as well?
I've been told that I probably wouldn't be able to.
Really?
They're very, the people of Guatemala, it's a very indigenous country and they've been taken advantage of and they're kind of protective of their language. It's sort of it's sort of a bit like armor, you know? I learned Huachalal, his brother, friend. And then I think that's pretty much it.
So did you?
I'm sure if I thought about it, there'd be more, but those are just random words.
Yeah. So you spoke Spanish with the people that you worked with
Because you all spoke really Spanish. Had to up my game then because it was a second language for both of us.
How did you have to study it on your own on outside of the job, or did you just
For certain keywords I did. Like, I was so nervous before the interview that I really Pinterest has like flashcards for languages now by topic.
Oh,
so like,
it
was
really?
Like, hotel related stuff. Like, I'll go on, jump on and see.
Yeah.
But they were always teaching me stuff, and they have different words and ways of saying things too. So picking that up, and then also laughing at it in between because sometimes things were lost in translation.
Right.
But I'm hoping they were supportive of you. Like, if you weren't sure, they'd be like,
oh yeah,
it's
of
okay.
course. And also, like, I mean, ordering drinks and like telling people what to do was pretty, I mean, it wasn't that wide of a category to have to learn, you know?
Yeah, but that takes some serious like guts to be in a management position and oversee people in a language that you're not completely comfortable with. Because, you know, the power dynamic is interesting to begin with, and then
yeah.
top that off with, I'm not really sure how to communicate what I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, you know, there was always an iPad close by if I was like really desperate. And you know, I don't like getting people in trouble, so... I would very carefully, sometimes we do a Google Translate just to make sure that everything was coming out the exact way I had to, because I hate being the bad boss, but sometimes you have to.
Yeah. Did you ever have an experience where you said something and they took it the wrong way? And
probably, but they didn't tell me about it.
I could just see that being like a sitcom scenario, you know, like some crazy shenanigans went down because you said to... go left and they went right and then they fell down the stairwell and like, who knows?
No, they knew their way around. But it was also very much the feeling too of like, you know, I'll tell them to do something in Spanish and like they start talking amongst themselves in Cachiquel right away.
Are they talking shit? We can curse, by the way.
It's kind of like when you're sitting in like a nail salon where it's nice. Run by people who don't speak your language and you just feel like they're talking shit about your nails the whole time. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I give them an order, and then like I have no idea what they're gonna say after that. But they have to do it. So
right.
You know.
Yeah. And Aaron, being a head chef, I'm sure you've experienced the same things, right?
Yeah. I studied
a lot of Spanish
in college, and like being in Alabama, there's a lot of Hispanic people. And my boyfriend was Guatemalan when I was in high school. So yeah,
I forgot about that.
So I have a lot of Spanish experience, and then. You learn your kitchen Spanish as well because half of your employees speak Spanish. And I do remember a few times where like they'd be talking in Spanish and like about me. And then I just like call them out and be like, yo, comprende. They're like, wait, what?
How much of that did you understand?
Lo siento, jefe. You know, tiptoe away. But yeah, it happens. But yeah, you just have to, you know. Slowly learn what's going on so you don't get walked over.
I love that though. I think you both have a lot in common, I'm realizing, and I'm really glad that I'm having you both on the show at the same time. But yeah, being in a power dynamic, like a woman over men especially, and then having that language situation on top of that, that's like, you know, it's not easy.
No,
and the machismo, I think, is very real too.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
the cultural machismo, definitely.
Yeah, because I would have, you know, dishwashers kind of talking down to me as a head chef, you know, like calling me like mamacita, and I'm just like, no,
I'm your boss,
I am jefe.
Yeah.
You know, jefa, whatever you want to call me, I don't care, but not mamacita.
Yeah.
I'm not like dancing for you in a corner right now, you know.
But that's, you know, that's their way of feeling better about the fact that you're their boss. I think they're trying to like
completely
like, she's a mamacita, you know.
Right. Like, oh, she's just the mamacita.
She's just the mamacita.
They were trying to butter you up a little. Yeah.
For sure.
I have to listen to her, but she's just the mamacita.
Awesome. Jen, let's go back. Let's get back to you here.
All right.
Growing up, did you always have an idea that you wanted to live in another country at some point? Or is this just something that totally just happened?
No, I did. I didn't plan the way it happened. And I actually wasn't thinking about that when it happened. But you said it to me.
Really?
Via text. When I first started the job at Fortuna, you texted me and you were like, I remember you saying that you wanted to manage a hotel in a different country. And I don't remember saying that. necessity again was a mother of invention. I needed a job and that was there.
Yeah, we were hanging out and I remember you being like, you know, it'd be such a cool job to be like in a foreign country, like manage a hotel and just like live and chill and like be in a foreign, beautiful place. And then I was, and then when you started doing that, I was like, she did it. She's there.
By happy accident. Like, yeah. But actually by happy accident. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because I've been afraid of lakes and ponds my entire life. Like, I love the ocean, but I'm really afraid of lakes. So
why? Wait, what? You love the ocean, but you're afraid of lakes?
And this lake is enormous. The ocean's 10 like miles ridiculous. Long and like 4.5 miles wide. Like, there's no reason. I just, you know what it is? Things don't move as much. Like, this lake is big enough where it's tidal, so things get cleaned out. But like, plants grow up really high, and like, I hate that icky feeling. I never touch the bottom. And this lake is so, it used to be a valley. So when you're actually in this lake, the trees that used to be there are still like growing up underneath, like
That's
straight up
amazing.
Trees. It is. It's beautiful. I love it. I haven't been swimming in the lake in a while, but
I want to come visit you.
I know.
You can come visit. Come okay. visit.
Tell
Let's
me
go
about
host,
it.
Like, stay at the hotel, hang out with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Swim and we might be a house too. Just come stay at the
I
house.
I know. And a view of a volcano.
Fuck New
right.
Orleans
I've seen
three volcanoes actually.
Three volcanoes. She has a view of three volcanoes.
Which yeah. one?
It's so Atitlan herself is the big one, I believe, of the three of them. But then closer on the lake, you have Toliman, which is where my favorite coffee comes from. And then San Pedro.
Nice. That's yeah. Awesome.
Have you ever worried about them erupting?
Well, Atitlan, two are dormant.
Okay.
Atitlan.
There's a lot of active ones, though.
A lot. Yeah, there was actually a major disaster there last year, last June.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That killed, like, they'll never know how many people actually died. That affected the indigenous.
Were you scared? What happened?
Actually, so I was. You're kind of get used to the booms. I know it sounds weird, but like
the booms. What do you mean by that?
Like, that sounds fucking terrifying.
Yeah, no. You get used to the booms of the volcanoes.
No, because they're not that like. Because Antigua is like a major hub. I don't know if you got to go visit Antigua when you were there.
I stayed in Antigua for a while actually, and there were like three volcanoes around. Right?
There's a
and
three
we
there,
one, and it was terrifying because we were legit walking on molten lava. Like this woman's yeah. shoe melted off of her foot.
What?
They just said the day one.
Yeah,
what happened. Did she do once her
she
shoe melted?
She had to like be hobbled around by her husband the rest of the time. Oh like it was like
oh my
her
god.
But
was that the
dumb.
Sleepover
like,
one or was that the day one?
It was a day one.
Okay, yeah. So you probably had to Pikaia. That's like the popular one to do.
Yeah, that sounds. Filled.
And you
yeah.
get the view of the other volcanoes.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
That's it. That's what I did. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for helping no, my memory.
There's nothing like it. It's. But yeah, I was actually standing on the dock because, like I said, you can only get to the hotel by boat. I was leaving, and it was taking me forever to get a boat. And you can see Fuego, the one that erupts constantly inside Antigua. Mm-hmm. You can see it. It's 49.6 miles from the dock. I found out that day, and you just see the plume of smoke go up. But it's usually harmless. It usually goes into an area where it's not directly hurting anybody.
Right.
But I didn't know until later that night in Newsport out of Antigua that it was a whole new kind of explosion. It was this gas explosion. I'm forgetting the name of it right now. It's what happened at Pompeii, though.
Oh, wow.
So it's toxic gas moving really, really fast, and people couldn't get out of the way in time.
Does this have to do with, awful. You think this has to do with climate change? Speaking of which.
I mean, volcanoes are constantly.
And it's tectonic plates. I mean,
it wouldn't have anything
no,
to do with.
I don't think so. No, because okay. but the lake, the one that's still not technically asleep, dormant, she hasn't done anything since like 1840 something, I'm told. But
she's a badass babe.
We get a little. She is.
She's definitely a badass babe.
If there ever was a badass babe, it would be that.
Yeah.
So what happened? So the volcano erupted.
Volcano erupted.
Did
and then
you
they just
see the lava or anything?
Not from the lake where I lived, but Antigua was covered in ash for like my bosses got stuck there because like it was also raining. So rain and ash just created like this oil slick over all the cars.
Wow.
So no one could really move or go anywhere until a couple of days later. That's but crazy. Unfortunately, the indigenous, it's the richest land to live on. So they are already moving back into the area, even though it's very possible now that this is going to be the way she keeps exploding. Hmm. Yeah.
Damn. On that note, speaking of female volcanoes.
She's a babe. She's a robo-babe. In Latin, she would be called Babia Majora. If she were a president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. My God. These compilations are gold.
Oh, yeah. You're listening to Badass Babes on Radio Free Brooklyn. Let's listen to some music. So, Jen, you picked this song, which I was really excited about. You picked Big Mama Thornton, Hound Dog.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So why'd you pick this?
Well, because I've really gotten more into blues than I ever was before. And I was really, really upset when I first found out that Elvis stole that song from her.
He stole everything.
Yeah, he stole everything.
No, I thought I had no idea that he stole that song from her.
He didn't do anything original.
Wow. I mean, that makes sense because she was well before him, but wow.
Yeah, so I felt like I loved Elvis when I was a kid, so I felt really betrayed by that. So when I found out. So when I found out about Big Mama Thornton, and then I think, you know, with the birth of the internet, we could finally watch videos, like being able to see the old videos of her playing in Rooms of Men, and then she teamed up with Muddy Waters, and I mean, she was just kind of a, she was a badass babe. She was
a badass babe. Listen to this. So this is Big Mama Thornton, Hound Dog. Well,
I feel all right this morning now. I want everybody to know that I was the one to say, you ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying, snooping round my door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying, snooping round my door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more. You told me you was high class, but I can see through that. Yes, you told you want high class, but I can see through that. And daddy, I know you ain't no real cool cat. You ain't nothing but an old hound dog, quit snooping around my door. You ain't nothing but an old hound dog, quit snooping around my door. You got
You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Badass Babes, and we're gonna do a little plug here. Don't worry, it won't take too long. Okay, mebottle.com. After more than a year of dreaming, researching, experimenting, late night conference calls, and early Saturday morning meetings, the Me Team is happy and proud to present you the Me Bottle. This double insulated reusable stainless steel bottle disinfects water in a 60-second cycle, utilizing UVC LED technology, and is 99.99% effective against E. coli.
All right.
That's cool.
A single charge via micro USB lasts up to 30 days, and the bright LED display lets you know when water is ready to drink. Join us in bringing clean water to all. Raise your bottle and drink. To you and me. Find out more at memodel.com.
That's pretty cool. I might have to get me a me bottle.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one too. How about you, Jen?
Yeah. I got to upgrade this thing now. I thought I was fancy with that.
Yeah, that's no me bottle. That is no me bottle.
There's no anti-E. coli thing in that.
Definitely not.
Aaron Wilson.
Hey.
your turn in the hot seat. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, I wish I had that, like,
ooh, like a big light that comes down.
Dun, dun, dun.
I would freak out. I don't want that.
What the hell? What is that show? I'm like blanking.
Who
on
wants
it.
To be a millionaire?
Who wants to be a millionaire? Yeah, I feel like Regis Philbin right now.
I want to be a millionaire.
Do you want to be a millionaire?
Yeah. Wait. Are you offering me money on this show?
I have $1 million. Do you want it?
Yes.
Would you like $1 million? Oh,
please.
Okay. Well, after the show,
please and thank you.
We'll arrange it. We'll arrange it. Okay. Cool. So, Aaron, you are a head chef currently focusing her career on climate change activism. Did that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Yes. I'm not currently a head chef because I'm focusing on that.
Because you're focusing on climate change activism.
And I need a break because, yeah, as all of y'all know, the fucking industry sucks.
Yeah. Let's talk more about that. We could go on for days. Am I right?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we could have a whole nother podcast about that one.
So you work with Extinction Rebellion
mm-hmm.
to spread awareness about the climate crisis.
Yeah.
You were recently in jail for
I was.
2 days.
Yeah, for 36 Whoa. Hours. Not fully two 30. Days, but it seemed like 500 days. Yeah.
You were arrested and in jail for protesting in Times Square.
Yes. Yeah, we...
Damn, Aaron.
Yeah, it was pretty
cool. She's a
cool.
badass. She's a badass, yeah. babe.
It's cool. Y'all can go on YouTube. I don't know how to look it
Is
up.
Is your arrest like, on YouTube?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No way.
Or, yeah, no, there's actually a
oh,
seven...
Oh, I need to watch this.
It's like a 7-minute short documentary called... It's by The Years Project. They used to have a Showtime show called Years of Living Dangerously. And it's about climate change and the climate crisis. And so they've been kind of following.
They were there.
Yeah, they've been following Extinction Rebellion. They did a really beautiful 7-minute documentary. You can probably find it on YouTube, like Extinction Rebellion. I think it's called Times Square something. Times Square Ruckus. I don't know.
Times Square.
We'll find it.
Show.
We'll find it.
Show. Yeah. Just type in Times Square. But yeah, it was pretty insane. We got a sailboat and we painted it neon green. And we pulled it up
neon green to represent
Earth, well, just to be like, you know, really fucking noticeable.
Yeah.
And then we painted Tell the Truth on it because our big thing has been like just the fact that places like New York Times and just other media has not been covering how intense like the climate crisis actually is and like what is happening and how there are people already displaced because of flooding and superstorms. And, you know, like we are already dying as a species. We're already like literally spiraling towards extinction and no one really knows that. Like we're focusing on like what did Ariana Grande wear to whatever the fuck show she went to, you know, like we're focusing
what
on the wrong
thing.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares? Because yeah, probably whatever she wore really affected the environmental movement.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It probably like was not good at all for anything because fashion is the worst for our environment.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other thing to talk about. But
you said something. You said the New York Times isn't covering it as
not
much
really.
As they should be. Is it because they're getting paid off? What is the
probably,
reason
for yeah.
that?
I mean, for sure. It's all about money. Yeah. Everything is in our world, it seems. Yeah, it's like big oil and gas, fossil fuels. They have more money. And like they're just giving money to people to like not talk about what's happening.
Hush
and,
money.
Yeah, just hush money. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why like politicians aren't talking about it as much as they should either, because a lot of them are paid by oil and gas companies
yeah.
to not talk about it, you know. So we're just pretty much demanding that the New York Times covers everything, especially things like, yeah, like X amount of people don't have a home anymore. What are we going to do about it? You know, like
yeah.
there's so much shit going on that we literally have no clue about.
We're such a self-involved species.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even though we're aware of climate change, we're aware that we're going to extinction, there's something in our brain, I feel like, that just is so focused on here and now and our own personal survival that we are like, oh, we'll figure it out. Someone else will do it. We'll be fine.
And
you know, there's just that.
The problem is that we have to do it now. Like we're at the point where like we have to do something or we die.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, it's like social. I think social media is actually like a big reason why that's how we think about things, because it's just like what's happening in front of you. Like, what are you doing? Like, what
yeah.
are we doing now? No. You know, like
mm-hmm.
what's she wearing? What? Yeah. What would she do yesterday? Like no
There's
one's
so much
thinking
to distract
about
ourselves.
Yeah. It's
from
just
the
it's just a bunch of distractions.
Yeah, for sure. So your arrest, what happened exactly? How did that go down? What was it like in jail? Tell me about it.
So yeah, we got the boat on 44th Street, like just like in the middle of Times Square. I don't know how the cops allowed us to do it.
This was during the day, right? During rush hour?
It was 10 a.m.
Oof.
Like,
you're pissing off a lot of people.
It was ridiculous how we did it.
Like, I love that. I love that you chose 10 a.m. Times Square.
What the fuck? How did we just do this? And like the cops were like, like looking like idiots. Like, y'all need to watch the video. The cops look so stupid. And they are really fucking dumb. But yeah, like, and I'm going to say that like out and proud because I fucking hate the police and I hate them even more after I got arrested because I realized how system is.
Yeah, that was probably so traumatizing.
Yeah, it was pretty traumatizing, but it was more upsetting because like when you get arrested as protesters, there's like a place they take mass arrests to. So it was just all of Extinction Rebellion.
But you super glued yourself to the boat. Is that right?
Yeah.
Whoa. Commitment.
Okay, so
she's badass.
Rewind. Okay, so yeah, the boat comes in. We all swarm around the boat and we had some people soft block around the boat, which means like they just like linked their arms and like pretty much protected us, which they also got arrested. But, you know, it was just they got less charges and like they weren't as much trouble because they didn't have to physically remove them from the boat like they did me and my fellow pirates.
How did they have
been calling ourselves
pirates? I love that.
Yeah, we're the pirates. It was 11 of us. And yeah, we all I actually handcuffed myself and super glued myself to the boat. So they had to like get handcuffs off me and get two of my hands off of the boat.
How did they do that?
Yeah, like nail polish remover. Like,
really?
Yeah,
the police had nail polish remover.
Yeah, and they acted like they had to get this special solvent and like, oh, the solvent's coming. And then they fucking came with like some like Rite Aid nail polish remover. And like he got this piece of gauze and just like soaked it in the thing and then like kind of like sawed my hand, which it didn't feel great, but like it was whatever. But yeah, you know, he just put it behind my hand and like sawed it off.
Wow.
With the solvent. But yeah, like they acted like they had some like military grade solvent coming that was like very important. It took like an hour to get there. But yeah, they just had to go to Rite Aid. And there's a lot around there. So I don't know why it took so fucking long.
So they get you off the boat. They handcuff you.
The boat, they arrest me.
Where'd you go?
We get put in this, the paddy wagon, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're stuck in there for a while. They literally took us like maybe a mile down the road, like, because they took us to like 100 Center Street or something, which is like very close to Times Square, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
We weren't in the financial district or something.
I don't know Manhattan very well.
Yeah.
Because I hate it.
This is Radio Free Brooklyn.
We're Brooklyn.
Brooklyn babes here.
Brooklyn babes.
We don't go to Manhattan.
We hate Manhattan. It's only for fun parties and to get arrested.
That's the only time to go to Times Square to protest and get arrested.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, they take us to this mass arresty place. So it's all Extinction Rebellion. So we're all just like, oh, hey guys, what's up? And then they kept us in there for a while. It was like three women to a cell. All the men were in one giant room, just like hanging out. Like, I think they like meditated together, like doing like very like cute, precious things. So like the first part of jail seemed fun. Like the girls were like, we were like singing with each other and like singing these like beautiful like chants and stuff. Just like, yeah, like talking. You couldn't see, you know, who you were talking to, but it was like this kind of cool experience
because you're each in your own cell.
Yeah, because it's like three to a cell, but there were, you know, like probably 30 women, maybe like 25 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all like singing and talking, but we don't know who the hell we're talking to. So like it was
pretty cool.
That sounds kind of fun.
I was like, jail's pretty nice. That's cool. But then they pulled the 11 pirates, the ones that were glued to the boat. They pulled us out. And that's when I got like fingerprinted and my eye scan.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like, I'm not happy about that because I know they're gonna like sell my information to China. I'm gonna be like a clone or some shit.
Right.
I'm not happy about that
right
part, but it's worth it, I think. But yeah, that's when they took us separately, and then all of the people that just soft blocked around us, they got to leave at like 8, so their day was pretty okay. They were in jail for like 8 hours chilling.
Yeah
they left, and then they
like the super glued
right.
People.
We were just extra. We'll
stay longer.
Yeah.
We had to go to Rite Aid, grab some nail polish, get them off that boat.
But then that's when they took us to central booking. And that's when it got like real spooky. Jail's not cool. Like, it's like creepy as hell. Like the whole time I was just like, dude, this place would be such a cool haunted house. Like, because it's like just like old and rusty and just like, like, yeah, it's
like
just
slime oozing from the ceiling.
Yeah, it's just like creepy as fuck. Like, you can't even really describe it very well. It's like a haunted house. And then you're seeing like people, like, yeah, like all these people that are like drugged up and like people in the drunk tank, like freaking out. Cause it was like 1 a.m. when they finally got us over there.
Yeah, it was
awful. Yeah, it was just like craziness. But yeah, that's when the real fun started. That's when, like, you know, I got like 100 calorie pack of Cheerios to eat, and I ate 4 of those over 36 hours.
Oof.
So
did they give you water? Or?
We had some water. Yeah. We ran out a few times, and they were just like slow to give us anything. Like, you could just tell they wanted us to feel like animals in a cage.
Yeah.
And we did.
This was your punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. And they like. Yeah, I think they held us in there even longer than they needed to, because I think they were pissed off because we had had like Rebellion Week, like Extinction Rebellion did a week of actions. Like, and so Thursday was kind of like the big one to like the tail end of the Rebel Week. So yeah. I think they were like, OK, we're sick of these fuckers. Like, we're like making them pay this time.
It's so crazy. Conflicting because you're just really trying to get people to. Realize what's going on. You're trying to wake people up.
Yeah.
And in response, the police are arresting you.
Yeah. And they were like making fun of us and like being like, oh, yeah, you're really doing a great job. And it was just like, they were just really rude.
Yeah.
And I've never liked the police. So like it didn't help my feelings towards them.
So if I wanted to join Extinction Rebellion, would I, you know, be, would I have to get arrested for it? Is there a way that I could
definitely not,
you can get involved in Extinction Rebellion and help out and really, like, cause you
there's
know,
totally a lot of different ways
without getting arrested. And,
yeah. I mean, just coming to rallies, supporting, just like being there. You definitely don't have to be arrested to be a part of it. I just kind of like,
you were like, I'm going all in.
I just had like a freak out when the Amazon rainforest, like, first got set on fire, still on fire. Like, I just kind of freaked out because I lived there for like 6 weeks in college. And I was just like, I remember talking to like the indigenous people talking about like, I'm going to help protect this. Like, this is sacred to y'all. This is something that means something to me now, too. I'm going to help protect this. And then I saw that happening and I was like, I fucking promised these people like something when I was like very young and, you know, like bright eyed, bushy tailed. But like. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I have to do something about it to, like, if, because I can't sleep at night, like, if I don't, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, got to the point where I was, like, I can't sit back and, like, watch this happen.
It's like the lungs of the earth are, like, burning, and everyone stopped talking about that really fast, too.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, like, it's in the media for a second, because, like, you know, whatever celebrity started talking about it, and, like, people are like, oh, we should pay attention, right? But then, yeah, like, are we still paying attention? No. No one's posting about it anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like no one cares about it anymore.
So if I wanted to join Extinction Rebellion or find out more about it, or if any of our listeners are interested, where could they go? Where can they find out more about it? I mean, they could probably Google it, but is there like a website or is there?
I think extinctionrebellion.org. I feel like a very bad activist right now. But yeah, Google it. They're actually a UK-based activist group. Like they started in London and they're really new. Like they started like this year.
Okay.
So it's very fresh, but it's just growing rapidly.
And this is like the New York chapter that you're part of.
XRNYC, which is Extinction Rebellion based in New York. And they also have like a Brooklyn base. Like they're starting these little communities because they want to be able to like fractal and like grow really fast. And they're also supporting like the Fridays for Futures, which is like all the children. Like kids are just like protesting, like they're just leaving school on Fridays now and protesting for climate change because of Greta Thunberg.
Yeah.
Like she's really started this. And so like,
she's amazing. She's
a badass.
Incredible.
And
yeah.
She like, she's supports Extinction Rebellion. So like, I feel like this is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Because she's made a huge, I mean, of all the voices, I feel like she's made the most impact.
Yeah. I mean,
and if she's supporting Extinction Rebellion, you know, it's legit.
Yeah, I think so. We're a baby of a group, so the more the merrier. So yeah, everyone Google that. Look up Extinction Rebellion Times Square something on YouTube and see me get arrested because it's fun.
Yeah, I'm the first
face you see on the on the video. It's weird.
Oh, I don't want to. I kind of don't want to see you getting arrested because I'd be sad.
But... I do. It sounds badass.
But it is my badass. Mom was oh my God, I just like started crying. it's fine.
Your mom's proud of you?
Yeah, she's proud of me.
Aww.
I think she was like, she had to get over her like extreme fear and anxiety because of it. But,
for sure.
But I didn't tell her about it before. I told her about it like, hey, Mom, I'm out of jail. I'm fine. But guess what? You know, like, I did.
You're
not
being respectful of her anxiety.
No, exactly. I was like, I don't want to stress you out too much. So I don't tell you about it until I'm safe out.
All right. So we're going to listen to Erin's musical choice of the day. She has a couple, but we're going to listen to Lizzo, Soulmates.
Oh, yes.
Let's check it out.
No glory. Let's go. Yeah, the old me used to love a Gemini. Like a threesome, fucking with him every night. A lot of two-faced people show me both sides. So I figured out I gotta be my own type. They used to say to get a man, you had to know how to look. They used to say to keep a man, you had to know how to cook. But I'm solo and so host, sipping soju with Malibu. It's not me, myself, kinda attitude.
Marry me one day. True love ain't something you can buy yourself. True love finally happens when you buy yourself. So if you buy yourself, then go and buy yourself another round from the bottle on the higher shelf.
Listening to Badass Babes on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you are on the go in your car or on the run and you want to listen to Radio Free Brooklyn, you can listen at radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone or radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android. There's also a Radio Free Brooklyn Fall Music Festival coming up. Oh, no, it was last night. Oh, my gosh. I am so sorry. You missed it. You can't go because it happened last night. And I wish I was there, but I forgot to go. All right, let's get back to it. You're listening to Badass Babes. We're going to talk about some badass babes from history. And I think talking about the environment and talking about activism leads us to our first woman from history, which is amazing, Jane Goodall. And I love her. And I actually saw her speak in person one time when I was I was young. And she was like this angel woman that there's just like a glow about her.
Yeah.
She's just like, is so soft and like sweet, but like also very just
badass.
For lack of a better word, badass. So Jane Goodall is considered to be the world's foremost expert on chimpanzees. She's spent over 55 years studying social and family interactions of wild chimpanzees, starting from the 1960s. She was named the UN Messenger of Peace and is also an honorary member of the World Future Council. She is an amazing woman.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. I love her so much.
I think when she first went to go see the chimps, I don't think she had any background in it either.
That's right. Yeah. She didn't even get her bachelor's degree or anything.
No.
I read this thing that I thought was really cute. As a child, instead of a teddy bear, her dad gave her a stuffed chimpanzee named Jubilee. Yeah. And she fell so much in love with Jubilee that it started her love of chimps. And then today, even, Jubilee sits on her dresser in London. Like, she still has Jubilee.
Aww. She does. She's such a sweet.
It's like,
sweet thing.
Give your child a stuffed animal of an animal, you know, maybe that'll spark something in them. You never know what things will spark if you have a child.
My brother.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause your brother is doing that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just got back from Zambia.
Whoa, that's awesome.
So yeah. What is he doing again?
So John, he was in the military. He was, in the Navy. And when he got out, he just fast forwarded to his dream was to go defend animals against poachers.
Awesome.
That's his passion. So cool. He started up actually in training. One of his buddies that he stayed in contact with, there's a relation to the secretary of Zambia. So they have an actual lodge there. So they work off that area. But I think it was something like 10 years ago, that property had 8,000 rhinos and there's zero now.
Wow.
So
that's terrible.
And John started Soldiers for Wildlife. It's all his. And it's constant, constant fundraising. He has to come back to fundraise. Mm. And he's got his work visa pending still right now.
I know he's raising money right now to staff the
two different ways.
Right?
Yeah, you can go on their website and become obviously what everything helps, but if you can do a monthly ranger, which me and my fiance do, it's $150 a month and that pays for everything they need. Their clothes, their food, their salary.
Wow.
Yeah, so goes a long way. But yeah, right now I'm doing one for my birthday for him. And then he has a Marine who heard about his organization that is down there doing gun training with the guys right now.
Oh, wow.
So he started one too.
I'm looking for work.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And he encourages.
I love this.
I'm always looking for different career paths.
Aaron, go and be a ranger.
Dude, I've
go capture the bad guys, man.
I've legit always wanted to do that for real, for real.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing to me that he made it happen for himself.
That's amazing.
It's really, really cool.
That's really impressive.
So yeah, Soldiers for Wildlife. And he's back now and it's hard because you can't,
What's the name Soldiers for Wildlife?
Soldiers for Wildlife.
I'm going to look that up.
So if you want to donate,
you can go to their website and the donate button's right there.
Soldiersforwildlife.org.
Yep.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And that's there. But yeah, he's just, it's like you can't have a career when you're coming back just to fundraise and be available to go back over there and do it yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's rough. I mean, and then when you have a loss of an animal, it takes a real toll on you.
Mm. I bet.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it really is. It's pretty incredible what these guys do.
That is amazing. So I'm going to steer us back to Jane Goodall just because she's the badass babe of the day. She wasn't formally educated. She didn't get her bachelor's. But she, I guess, is one of eight people that at the time that were able to get a PhD without having had a bachelor's degree because she had spent so much time doing what she did. She was just able to skip that completely.
Got that life experience.
Yeah, exactly. She has that life experience. So she was able to get her PhD.
That is badass.
She also suffers from prosopagnosia. Pardon my pronunciation of that. But that makes it difficult to recognize familiar faces, which I thought was interesting.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about her.
So Goodall basically, she changed the pathway of how we look at chimpanzees and apes by, at the time they were kind of just categorizing them by numbers. And she was the first person to say, no, I'm going to name these.
Right. Yeah. And she was criticized for that.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But in doing that, she was able to see that they love, they hurt, they hug, they kiss, they tickle, they pat on the back, they experience joy, they experience sorrow, all these things that we didn't really think that they did. And she was actually, she actually joined like a tribe, and she was considered the weakest link of the tribe, I guess.
Aww.
Which I think is cute.
Yeah, I think in the early videos, they kind of treat her like a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But they accept her. But yeah. She's just like the weird kind of one that's latched on. And they're like, all right, we'll deal with this.
Yeah, this little
random runt of a thing here.
Aw, that's she's, so awesome.
She is so
she's
cool.
She's like a runt in their world, but she's like this queen in our world.
I know, yeah. I know. I love that. Let's listen to another song of the day. Jen, you picked, was this you? Loretta Lynn?
No.
No, that was me.
Oh.
But hey.
Aaron, you picked Loretta Lynn, Fist City. Let's listen to this.
You've been making your brags around town that you've been loving my man. But the man I love, when he picks up trash, he puts it in a garbage can. And that's what you look like to me. And what I see is a pity. You better close your face and stay out of my way if you don't want to go to Fist City. If you don't want to go to Fist City, you better detour around my town. Cause I'll grab you by the hair of the head and I'll lift you off of the ground. I'm not a saying my baby's a saint, cause he ain't, and that he won't cat around with a kitty. I'm here to tell you, gotta lay off of my man if you don't wanna go to Fist City. Come on and tell me what you told my friends, if you think you're brave enough. And I'll show you what a real woman is, since you think you're a hot stuff. You'll bite off more than you can chew if you get too cute or witty. You better move your feet if you don't want to eat a meal that's called Fist City. If you don't want to go to Fist City, you better detour around my town. Cause I'll grab you by the hair of the head and I'll lift you off of the ground. I'm not a sin, my baby's a saint, cause he ain't, and that he won't pat around with a kitty. I'm here to tell you, gotta lay off of my man if you don't wanna go to Fist City. I'm here to tell you, gotta lay off of my man if you don't wanna.
This is Badass Babes on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you for listening. Our final Badass Babe of history is Joan of Arc. And I'm really glad we're talking about Joan of Arc because she, in her short span of life, I think she died at
19. It's insane. Yeah.
Became like, she's one of the most famous women of history of all time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you like about Joan of Arc, Erin?
Oh, man. I like that
what
she
<don't> I?
She just like didn't take anyone's shit. Like, I mean, I don't know her personally, but it seemed like she just like, she like had these visions. Like her life is like very like weird. Like it's like a mythical story. Like it doesn't seem like a real thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, she like had all these visions telling her, you know, to fight, and then like led all these men into battle, like dressed as a man, got in trouble for cross-dressing. And she was only doing it because female dress didn't protect women. Like,
yeah,
it wouldn't have protected her in battle. So she wore the male's battle uniform.
Like armor.
Yeah, armor. So she could
she
not
didn't die.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, got in trouble
like,
for
that.
What
are you doing? That's what like, I'm supposed to wear. Like,
yeah,
where's
I'm
your
fighting.
Skirt? Like, I'm going to get stabbed. No,
yeah.
I'm putting on this armor. Okay.
So yeah, she like led a huge like group of men into battle. And then when she was captured, like she made a few escape attempts. One of them, she jumped from a 70-foot tower and survived.
Whoa.
What?
Like, I did not know that.
Yeah, and
yeah,
like
I didn't know that either.
She didn't get away because yeah, when she fell, you know, she like took some damage. And like when she was like,
imagine.
When she was like getting up to run away, they like got her again.
Wow.
So like she's like, and yeah, she's died when she was 19. So this was all like as she's a teenager.
Young woman.
Like,
she was a teenager. Yeah.
She wasn't even, yeah, she had not come into herself until like womanhood.
This basically happened in a span of 6 years.
It's insane. Because like thinking about me as a woman, like I'm 31 and I feel like I just now understand like who I am and like what I want and like what I won't take mm-hmm. from people and like, you know.
Yeah.
And she was 19.
I know. Like, she had these visions at the age of 13.
Right.
That told her to fight, told her to, you know, stand up to the British, and yeah,
just went
and then everyone believed her. Everyone was like, oh, she really, like, that's kind of the amazing thing is that everyone listened to her and was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. Somebody told you to fight, some saints came down and like told you to fight, then cool,
great,
we're doing this, this is what's happening. And that was in the span of 6 years. And then she died.
Right. Like nowadays, they'd be like, okay, so you're schizophrenic.
Yeah, they'd hospitalize.
Yeah, you need to go to the hospital. We're going to strap you down.
They were like, okay. I just love that they listened to her, though. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't.
Until they didn't.
That's until they didn't and burned her alive.
Yeah.
But
that was a rough way to go.
That is true. That is true. But then they declared her that she actually was. They re-examined the trial, debunked the charges against her, and pronounced her innocent after her death. And that was when she was declared a martyr.
Yeah.
Because she was innocent after all. Which I feel like happened to a lot of women at that time. Like,
yeah, the whole,
you're a witch.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. All the witches that they burned.
Like, oh, my God. Maybe that was wrong.
Had some intuition.
Yeah. I had a dream and this woman was in it. She's a witch.
She's a witch.
Let's kill her. She dies. Like, oh, maybe.
Actually.
Maybe she was like.
Oops.
So crazy.
Well, also, and her name is not Joan at all. We're just like really? Americans that suck. Her name's Jean. Like Jean. Like J-E-A-N-N-E.
Jean.
It's like Jean. I don't speak French. I'm a redneck from Alabama. So I'm like Jean d'Arc. I don't know.
Jean d'Arc, y'all. Not,
like, we're like, yeehaw. Yeah, Joan of Arc. We can't. But her name is like Jean and then is D apostrophe A-R-C. It's like Jean d'Arc. I don't know. I can't speak French.
Really,
I don't know.
Really beautiful, either. Aaron. I love that.
Joan of Arc.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you both for having us.
Oh, thank you, Brett.
I love you both. And your stories are incredible. And I really hope that you inspire others. And again, if you're interested in joining Extinction Rebellion, you can go onto the website. If you're interested in donating to Soldiers for Wildlife, you can go onto that website. Don't be afraid to, you know, go to another country where you don't speak the language. Don't be afraid to fight for climate change. Talk about something important, you know. I think we've all learned a lot here today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brett.
We've had a great time, I think.
Yeah, so too.
Thank you for having us.
Let's just do a little bit of...
She's a babe.
She's a robo babe.
In Latin, she would be called Babia
Majora.
More
time.
If she were a president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
I also have this one, which I think is great.
Wayne, what do you do if every time you see this one incredible woman... You think you're gonna hurl.
I say, no. If you blow chunks and she comes back, she's yours.
Yeah.
If you spew and she bolts, it was never meant to be.
It was never meant to be. So true, so true. So true. All right, we're gonna say goodbye with the official Badass Babes theme song.
Woohoo!
I love you both again, one more time.
Love you, Brett.
Make sure to tune in next week. We're on Mondays at 11 a.m. Badass Babes, Radio Free Brooklyn. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is a fully functional babe lair.